so glad that you're here this morning. We got a few new faces this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we want you to be blessed in the house of God this morning. I want to welcome my wife's cousin, Tim and Connie, here this morning. I didn't know this coming. I come up and I saw them. I said, boy, y'all picked a bad day to come. Come back Wednesday night or next Sunday and you hear some good preaching. But I want you to pray for me this morning that God will have His way. I feel like that God has really laid a message on my heart this morning. It may not be one of those shouting messages or one of those running messages that I like to preach, but it could turn into that if God gets in it. Amen. So I want you to pray for me this morning. I feel like that God has sent a word for somebody this morning. How many of you know and realize that we need the power of the Holy Ghost working in our lives? Amen. We need the power of Jesus working through us and for us. Amen. I'm going to be doing probably more reading than I'm doing preaching, so I want you to pray for me this morning that God will have His way. If you got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. This won't be nothing that you ain't heard before. Nothing new, nothing that's going to blow your hair back. But I need you to help me this morning if you can. Matthew chapter 26. I know it's here somewhere. Right after Matthew 25. Amen. I need you to pray for me this morning. I feel a little, uneasy this morning. I feel a little nervous, and you know how I am when I get nervous. I preach for a long, long time. So y'all better help me feel comfortable, or we might be here for a while. So I want you to pray real hard this morning that God will have His way. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, start with verse 31. The Passover had just taken place. They had just had the Last Supper, and Judas had went out to betray Jesus. And in verse 31 it says, "Then said Jesus unto them all of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus to them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and found them asleep. And said unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. Verse 56, second part says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Verse 69, "Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus at Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid said unto him, He said unto them that were with it, This fellow was also with Jesus and others. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I know I've done a lot of reading this morning, and you probably thought I was going to read the whole Bible, but I didn't. But I want to use this thought this morning, the rooster that woke Peter up. The rooster that woke Peter up. Now, Peter was known to fall asleep in Jesus' classroom. In Luke 9:29-32, Peter fell asleep on the mountain and nearly missed seeing Moses and Elijah. Peter fell asleep and almost missed Jesus Christ's transfiguration. Peter fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord needed him to stay awake. Jesus had requested his three favorite pupils to simply watch for me, but Peter just couldn't keep his eyes open. And as I read that, I thought about when I was in school. I'd go into the classroom, and I worked the late shift. I had part-time jobs when I was in high school. I worked at a furniture store during the day. And two nights a week, I would work in the press room at the Times Journal. And a lot of times, Pastor, I'd be up late at night. I'd be up real late, and I'd go to school the next day. And I'd sit in the classroom, Steve, and my eyes would get so heavy, I couldn't hardly hold my head up. And right after lunch, we always had history, or when I was a junior, I think I did. And I would get in the classroom, and I would be so sleepy that I couldn't hold my eyes open. And I thought about when Peter was there, and I thought about how that Peter had trouble keeping his eyes open in the classroom of Jesus Christ a lot of times. And I found out when it come report time, or when it come test time, how much I had missed because I had fallen asleep in the classroom. Amen? And Peter would fall asleep in Jesus' classroom from time after time. But when it would come test time, Peter would realize how much he had missed because he had fallen asleep. Amen? When Jesus come back out of the Garden of Gethsemane and they were laying there asleep, he said, Sleep on and take thy rest, for my work is finished. But he woke Peter up and said, Come on, Peter, it's time for us to go. And you know what happened after that. I'll spare you that. But you know the story, if you're a student of the Word, what took place. But later that same night, Peter fell into a different kind of sleep. The Bible sometimes pictures men drifting off into a comfortable sleep of complacency. Amen? Slipping off into a comfortable sleep of complacency. Of course, we know that complacency is self-satisfied. Amen? Self-satisfied or self-sufficient. Now, we're going somewhere with this, so I want you to just hang on, buckle your seatbelt, and hold on tight, because I'm going to be running 90 miles an hour, and I'm going to be shifting gears. So I'm going to be going from one thing to another, but at the end, I'm going to try to wrap this thing up and make a message out of it. So you hold on, and you pray for me. Amen? The Bible pictures people of falling into a comfortable sleep of complacency. And I said that complacency is self-satisfied. Satisfied or smugness. Now, when I say smugness, I mean someone who walks around with his chest puffed out and his ego leading the way. Amen. Now, this characterized Peter. He went around with his chest poked out, and he went around and he thought he was self-satisfied. He said, Jesus, though everybody else forsakes you, oh, Rocky, oh, Peter, he's going to be there. But when everybody else leaves, I'm going to be there. So Peter had a spirit of smugness about him. He walked around with that ego leading the way, and he said, I know everybody forsakes you. Oh, when it comes crunch time, I'm going to be there. Amen. Somebody pray for me. So this characterized Peter. Though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. If everyone else deserts you, I won't. But that night, Peter fell into a spiritual sleep of complacency, and that he let his guard down. And the Bible said that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Amen? Now, I've preached this message before. I preached it like this. If Satan can't get you with unworthiness and low self-esteem, he'll try to get you with pride and complacency. Amen? With pride and complacency. Jesus would tell Peter in Luke 22, Simon, Simon, Behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. The devil is not your buddy. The devil is not your friend. The devil is not on your side. The devil is out to get you. He'd like to get you and sift you as wheat, amen, and destroy you. But the Bible said, Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. How many of you know and realize that there's a God in heaven praying for me and you? Amen. I thought about this week, Matt. I struggled along with some issues. I had some problems in my life. I fell asleep in the classroom this week. Amen. But I've got to realize that there's a God in heaven whose best interest and best benefit is for me. Amen. And I'm going to get through this thing. Somebody pray for me now. Come on. But Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. See, there's something to be learned in the classroom of failure. Come on now. There's something. You got to get with me. I may just stand here. Y'all decide. Y'all going to get in this thing with me. There's something to be learned from the classroom of failure. Because there's going to be times in your life that you're going to be tested and you're going to fall. I promise you, everybody sitting under the sound of my voice, there's going to come a time when you're going to be tested and you're going to come up short. I'd like to tell you, as soon as you got saved, that everything was just going to be cake and ice cream. It's going to be blacktop from here on out. But it's not going to be that way, amen. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to leave you. He'll be right there with you to get you through every trial, every trouble that you ever face. But there's going to be time that you'll fail the Lord, just like Peter did. Jesus told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Now, there's something to be learned from the classroom of failure. And what is it? When you're converted, strengthen the brother. I don't want nobody telling me that there's the God that heals unless you've been sick and God touched you. I don't want nobody telling me that God will get you through your troubles if you ain't never been through none. I don't want people telling me there's a God in heaven that can meet every need if God hadn't met a need for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Where am I at, Sister Rhonda? Now, Jesus told Peter, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. And when you are converted, strengthen the brother. Now a lot of people has took this scripture and they said that Peter had denied Jesus Christ and he had backslidden and he had fallen from grace and that means that Peter's got to be born again and renewed under Christ. That's a good thought, but I just don't think it's correct. The way of salvation had not been made yet, and it's hard to lose something that you've never had. Amen? So, but I choose to believe when Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted means when thou art changed and transformed. When you are changed and you are transformed. Now, we're going somewhere. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. So it was a rooster that woke up Peter. The rooster's crow was Peter's spiritual wake-up call. This rooster crowed and jarred something in Peter's mind, in his memory. When that rooster crowed, Peter realized what Jesus had told him. It jarred something in his psyche. It was a spiritual wake-up call. The rooster crow jarred something in Peter's psyche that had been dormant during the previous few hours. Amen. For the last previous few hours, something was missing in Peter's life. He had fallen asleep. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. When does a rooster usually crow? In the morning. Amen? Morning is not just something with an a.m. attached to it. Morning is when you wake up. Amen? Oh, my goodness. The old bird has been called the gospel rooster. many Christians would do well to imitate that old bird. Have we got any roosters in the house this morning? If you are, let me hear you crow. We're going somewhere. Have we got any roosters in the house? If you're going to imitate the old rooster, what did he do? First thing, he did what he could. Amen. The rooster that woke up Peter simply did what he could do. I need you this morning to not do what you can't do, but I need you to do everything that you can do. If you can crow like a rooster, you need to crow like a rooster. Amen. So this old gospel bird, if we're going to imitate this gospel bird, the first thing that we've got to do is to do what we can do. He didn't bark like a dog, sing like a canary, or talk like a parrot, but he crowed like a rooster. Say this, we should use our talents. Everybody that's sitting under the sound of my voice, you have been blessed with a talent. Amen. God has given you something you can use. Amen. I can't bark like a dog because I'm not a dog. I can't sing like a canary. First of all, I can't sing. Amen. And I can't talk real smooth, and you've done found that out. But what I am, I'm a rooster. That's what I do. I'm going to have to work on my rooster call. Amen. The second thing, the rooster was not ashamed. His crowing did not embarrass him. Oh, come on. I know some people that can sing like a canary. Man, you get them in the shower, and they can sing, and they can praise God. But when they get up in the front of a crowd of people, they're so embarrassed that they can't get words to come out of their voice. Amen. They can't get things to come out. You can't be ashamed of what God has blessed you with. Have you ever, a lot of us were country folks. Amen. And a lot of us were raised on the farm. A rooster's not embarrassed. Did you know that? The Bible said that men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick and all in the house might see. I remember going to my granddad's when I was just a kid, and he had roosters all over. And back then, you just let them run around out in the yard, those old yard birds. And you know what they'd do when they got ready to crow? They didn't hide under a bushel. They didn't get behind a tree, but they'd get up on that fence post. And it seemed like it was always outside of my window when he'd crow. And get up on the barn top. And that's what I'm saying this morning. If you're going to be a rooster, you can't be ashamed of what God has blessed you with. And you can't be ashamed to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And you need to wake somebody up. I'm getting weaker and weaker. Oh my goodness. Pastor, you may have to take over the rooster crowing. The rooster was faithful and dependable. You don't have to worry about the rooster getting up on time. You don't have to worry about the rooster doing his job. You don't have to worry about the rooster getting up on a high spot and making his call and crowing. The rooster was faithful and dependable. He crowed when he was supposed to. What if that old bird had not done his duty on that day? What if that old rooster hadn't done what he was supposed to do? Jesus prophesied before the rooster crows three times. Amen. Peter, you're going to deny me, and the rooster's going to crow. What if that rooster decided, I'm not going to crow tonight? Peter might not have been converted. Peter might not have preached on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. We might not have seen 3,000 souls get saved because the rooster didn't do his job. But the rooster was reliable and dependable. We need some church people that are going to be reliable and dependable. I need you here on Sunday morning. I need you here on Wednesday night. More than that, I need you to stand on the rooftop and proclaim Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going somewhere. You just pray. The fourth thing. The rooster did his job even though others disapproved. Amen? The rooster did his job, even though others disapproved. There's going to be somebody that leaves this service this morning and says, "Oh, that's stupid. Him up there crowing like a rooster. I don't like that kind of stuff. I'm deep." I got a job to do, sister. I got a job to do, brother. And I'm crowing like a rooster because that's what I do. Amen. That's what I do. Hallelujah. But what? The rooster did his job even though others disapprove. Now, waking up, people, ain't going to make you real popular. I promise you. Amen. I remember as a kid, and I would be laying in my bed, and it seemed like I was sleeping so good about 6:30 in the morning. And Mother would come in there and wake me up and said, "It's time to get up. Time to go to school." Okay. 10 minutes later, she'd come in there and she'd say, "It's time to get up. It's time to go to school. You've got to go to the classroom." Okay. She'd come back the next time. She'd say, "If I have to come in here one more time, you'll get out of that bed." Amen? Jesus is a loving God. Jesus is a patient God. But sometimes Jesus has to raise His voice a little bit to get your attention. Or sometimes Jesus has to take some drastic measures to get you to wake up. It's high time that we wake up out of our sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Amen? Hallelujah. So waking up, people, don't make you popular. Have we got any roosters in the house this morning? Let me hear you crow. Peter needed to recognize where he was. Amen? See, some people are spiritually asleep and don't even know it. Amen? Have you ever went home maybe after a long, hard day, or maybe some things are going on in your life and you're stressed out and you're saying, "I'm going to lay down and I'm going to take me a quick nap." And you wake up 2 hours later, you think you've been laying there 10 minutes. Amen? Amen? So there's some people that has fallen spiritually asleep that don't even know it. You've been laying there so long, you think you've been laying there 10 minutes, and it's been 2 hours. It's time for us to wake up out of our sleep. Time for you to wake up out of your sleep. Amen? Hallelujah. Peter needed to recognize where he was. If I drift off into complacency, I need somebody to wake me up. Amen. Self-sufficiency. I'm hoping this comes together at the end. Amen. If I drift off in complacency, I need somebody to wake me up. See, wake-up calls comes in many ways. Wake-up calls comes in many ways. It could be a powerful message that wakes you up. Amen. When David went to sleep at the wheel and fell into his great sin, it was the prophet Nathan that come by and woke him up. Amen. It was this powerful sermon. And you know the story. It said, "David, you are the man, David." And it jarred his psyche and woke him up. And David said, "Oh my God, where have I been?" I tell you where he'd been. He'd been asleep at the wheel. He had slipped off into sleep in this part because the Bible said it was the time of year when you go out to war. And David decided he'd just stay at the house in that spiritual recliner and kick back and take it easy. And you know the story, what happened? He fell into a spiritual sleep that day. But the prophet Nathan come by with a powerful message. It could be a friend with loving words. The Bible says that open rebuke is better than secret love. Amen? I don't have to worry about Matt. He's my brother and he loves me. He's my friend. And when I get into spiritual complacency, he's going to come by and he's going to tell me, "Brother, you need to wake up. You need to get up." Amen? If I love you, and I do, that's what I'm going to do. If I see you slipping off into spiritual complacency, I'm going to come by and I'm going to shake you. I'm going to say, you need to wake up. You need to get up. You need to wake up. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians 6, 2 and 3, say, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What was Peter's problem? What was Peter's real problem? Peter thought he was something when he was really nothing. Hey man, if you think you can get through this thing without Jesus, you're in trouble. Amen. This is the lesson. I've done throw the punchline out here before I got high through with my message. Amen. This is the lesson that we need to learn. Amen. You can't get through this thing without Jesus. Peter was almighty and puffed up, but the message is, you can't do nothing without Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't get it done. Oh, I've got this. That's a favorite saying that we use. I've got this. That's a good thought. But you ain't got this. It's going to take Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes we've just got to come to ourselves, splash some water on our face, and wake up. Y'all know me. I'm a creature of habit. And I've told y'all my routine. Day after day, I get up, make my coffee, I go in the bathroom, splash water on my face. Try to wake up, then I go in my study and I study for a while. I get spiritually ready for my day. I wake up. Amen? So sometimes we just need to splash some water on our face and wake up. The Bible said when the prodigal son came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. What was the first thing that Peter did after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection? He said, I'm going fishing. Y'all do what you want to do. I'm going fishing. Now, I've preached it like this, and then you've heard it, and it's been preached, that he was going back to the place he was comfortable with. And that's a good thought, and there's a lot of truth in it, and I've preached that. Then we've preached it like this. It was a time of waiting. Amen? But what about this? Peter said, I'm going fishing. He said, I am starving to death. I'm fixing to go catch me some fish, and I'm fixing to have me something to eat. You know what the problem was? Peter was trying to satisfy a spiritual problem with the physical resources. Amen? That's what Peter was trying to do. See, when we fall asleep and become complacent, this is what happens. We end up busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted. That's what happens when we become spiritually complacent. And that's what happened to Peter. Amen? The Bible said they fished all night and caught nothing. But the Bible said in John 21 and 4, but when the morning was now come, what happens in the morning? We wake up. The Bible said that Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Him. Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, children, do you have any meat? And they said, no. Amen. They were out there. Peter said, I'm starving to death. There's some people sitting in the house of God this morning. You're spiritually famished. You're malnutrition. You're spiritually malnutrition because you haven't eaten. Amen. And you're trying to satisfy a spiritual problem with a physical need, and it's not going to happen. Amen. So he said, children, have you had any meat? They answered him, no. Now, he didn't call them a canary. He didn't call them a dog. He didn't call them a rooster. He called them children. He said, children, have you had any meat? I believe what Jesus was saying about me. I I believe what Jesus is saying about me, everything that he says, Matt. I believe when Jesus said, you're my child, I believe I'm his child. I believe when Jesus said, I'll be there for you, I believe he'll be there for me. I believe he'll be everything that I need him to be. The Bible says that, what if a man of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Transformation don't take place just because you change your mind. Amen. Transformation don't take place just because you woke up. Transformation only takes place through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, my goodness. When Jesus said, children, do you have any meat? They said, no. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Now, here we go. Amen. He's not only able to supply your spiritual needs, he's able to supply your physical needs as well. When we wake up and we decide and God starts doing a work in my... How many of you know that we're a work in progress? God is continual. You don't get up one morning and get saved, amen, and just start living right all of a sudden. I'd like to say it does, but it don't happen. You don't go out in your garden and plant tomato plants and go out the next morning and get a tomato. It don't work like that. We're a work in progress. God is working on us. Amen? He said, cast your net on the right side. Jesus is able to meet your physical needs. Anybody got any needs in the house this morning? God, we're a blessed people. Ain't nobody got no needs this morning. I do. I got some problems. I got some issues. I got some situations. And my God is able to supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Amen? Now, when we wake up, Jesus is able to supply our physical needs. The Bible said that, why did you labor for bags with holes in them? There's people here this morning, and you've worked hard all your life, and it seems like that you just can't get ahead. You just can't get ahead. And it seems like that you're just getting your paycheck and you're putting it in a bag. It's got a hole in it. And it just drops through. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God has got a plan and God has got a purpose for your life. And it's good. If you'll just wake up, if you'll just turn to God and let Him start molding you and making you and shaping you into what He wants you to be. Amen. You'll see things turn around in your life. Amen. Then John said, that's the Lord. They labored all night. They didn't know who Jesus was. He said, children, have you got any meat? They didn't know who he was. And all of a sudden, John said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. Amen. You're sitting here this morning and your chest is pounding. And you're thinking, my God, he's preaching to me. And you're thinking, some of these situations are fitting into my life. You know what? That's the Lord. That's the Lord. John said, that is the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Bible said that Peter just jumped in the water. Amen. And swam towards the bank because he wanted to get next to Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Now let me see if I can find where I'm at. Let me just shoot from the hip. The Bible said, when they got to the shore, when Peter got to the shore, that Jesus had a fire going. He had coals of fire, and he had bread, and he had fish. And he said, come and dine. And said, the other disciples, they were dragging their net. They were dragging the net, and it was full of fish. And the Bible said, the net break not. If you'll read back a little bit earlier, before the resurrection, before the crucifixion, you'll see the Bible say that when their nets were full, they were dragging them, and their nets break. Is this making any sense at all? Amen? Jesus said, I'm not going to lose one. Those that God's given me, I'm not going to lose none of them. They're going to be mine. But the Bible said that Jesus said, come and die. They had their morning meal. Amen? Their morning meal. Then Jesus starts to minister to Peter. Peter, I know where you've been. I know what you've done. I told you you was going to do it before you did it. But you did it anyway. Come on now. There's been times in my life, more than once, more than twice, when Jesus told me I was going to do it, I knew it, and I did it anyway. Hey, I'm just a man. I'm just like you are. And I did it anyway. But you know what? Jesus never gave up on me, and God won't give up on you. And the coals are burning, and the meal is spread. All you've got to do is come and die. Amen? Did you know that salvation is the simplest thing you'll ever do? It's so simple that a child can understand it. It's as simple as saying a few words, "I'm sorry, come into my life and be my Savior." It's that simple. You won't see no lightning flash, no thunder roll, but you will sense a sweet, settled peace come right down in your heart. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. And the Bible said, that Peter was sitting there with Jesus at the fire. And all of a sudden, Jesus started ministering to him. He said, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." "Simon Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Then feed my sheep." "Simon, do you really love me?" "Lord, you know all things, and you know I love you. Feed my sheep." Amen. God has got a will, but we've got a responsibility. Amen. The Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance and live. Amen. I don't know what you come here for this morning. I really don't. If you come to hear a smooth, polished preacher, you didn't hear one. If you come to be fed, I think you did. If you come this morning out of curiosity, there's a God in heaven that knows you better than you know yourself. And He's given you this opportunity. He's given you this privilege this morning. You've been looking around. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. You've been looking around, and you've tried this, and you've tried that, and you've tried this, and it didn't work. I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. I couldn't find it in a bag. I couldn't find it in a bottle. I couldn't find it in a pill, but I found it in Jesus. Amen? And you know what? I'm everything that He says I am. First of all, I'm saved. Second of all, I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm handsome. Well, wait a minute. Must don't go too far. But I get up every morning, and this is my prayer. As I start off that mountain, been driving the same road for 42 years, and I start down that mountain, and I can start to confess what I am. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm chosen. I'm healthy. I'm prosperous. I'm creative. I can do all these things. Run if y'all come to the piano. Is Misty going to sing? I asked her to sing this song, and I don't even know if it matches this message or not. But this is just the way the Lord led me this morning. Let's stand our feet all over the house. I hope I have made you uncomfortable this morning. You know why? Because I'm a rooster. And I come by to wake you up. I come by to wake you up. Don't miss out on the very best that life has to offer. Don't miss out on the very best that God has to offer. Because you can be everything that He says you are. This altar's open. You might just want to come down here and say, Lord, I've been a little bit sleepy. I'm ready to wake up. You may want to come down here this morning and just say, Lord, I drifted off when I was in the classroom, but I'm waking up. I'm ready to go for you. So this altar is open this morning. If you want to come and pray, we want to pray with you and we want to pray for you. I can't do your praying for you, but I can pray with you as they sing.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low?
I wouldn't leave this door this morning.
Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh-oh, you say I am loved.
Thank you, Jesus. There's a God in heaven standing with outstretched arms this morning, waiting on you. He's a gentleman. He will not force Himself upon you. But if you'll ask Him to come in, He said, I'll knock at the door, and if you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. And you can be my child, and I'll be your God.
I believe the only thing that matters now is everything you think.
Hallelujah.